Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Or something like that. Welcome, everybody. Sports rapper Dwayne Walker's on the air. Greg Patman, a.k.a. Greg Patton, is producing the program tonight. Greg, how are we doing tonight, man?
Happy Video Games Day, Dwayne.
Okay, whatever that means. Hey, we got a big show coming up for you. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock tonight. That's right. First hour, we'll get it going on, man. Talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Has Matt Ryan hit the ceiling? Are we going to hit the panic button yet? Of course we're not. We'll talk about that at 11:22. 11:42. The Falcons are a Super Bowl team, right? Most of us believe that even despite the auspicious start. But are the Falcons actually making enough moves to replace and address our injuries that we suffered in game number one? We'll talk about that. Plus, the WNBA, they have a champion. Let you know who that is at 11:57. Oh, yeah. Congratulations going out to the ladies. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, first 15 minutes of the program, I just spout off about whatever's going on. I use this program as therapy for myself. I have some issues, you know, situations. Got a lot of stuff on my mind. Now, you guys think it's funny, right? Some of you think it's funny when I get on here and I really talk about having issues and talking things through. There's been a big push. Has anyone noticed that there's been a big push on mental illness? And I'm being serious when I say this. Mental illness that's going on in our community. A lot of people have anxiety. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people, frankly, are suicidal. And I got to tell you something real quick. And I'm not trying to start the show on a somber note at all. But what I am saying, man, is that it just seems that the atmosphere right now in sports, in entertainment, and in real life, it's just really like a weird type situation going on. My week, man, was pretty exciting. I got to admit, a lot of stuff transpired. I learned a lot this week. I learned that Mac Miller, who passed away on this past Friday, do you guys realize he was like the most streamed cat, like, like over the last week, like just crazy amounts of Mac. Now, how many of us know who Mac Miller is? Be honest. I know you know Greg Patton, who Mac Miller is, but the general public, how many people actually know who Mac Miller is?
I think if you're under the age of, I'll say 30, you probably have a pretty good idea. I would say the majority of our audience, probably not.
Yeah.
But the thing that's always concerning about these these passing ons is you get the autopsy that they've put, and they still can't really claim a cause. That's always disconcerting.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying, man, I guess what I'm trying to do, just bring to the light, man, those of you that don't know, there's a lot of mental health, mental illness and health, and a lot of people are feeling some type of way right about now. So, man, make sure that you reach out to your loved ones and try to figure out what's going on with them, if anything. You know what I'm saying? Just try to be there to talk to them, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just saying. You look at the news, and I know we're going to talk about sports. I promise you we have 3 hours worth of talking to, but you just look at some of the stuff that transpired. Now, this caught my eye. It says 60 Minutes executive producer Jeff Fager was fired today. 60 Minutes. Now, that's a program that's like a Hallmark program, right, that's been on the air for a long time. And they're just like firing people left and right. People losing their jobs left and right. And a lot of it has to do with, women. To be perfectly honest with you. And over the weekend, I'm watching the U.S. Open, the tennis final between Serena and the young lady, Osaki, from Japan. A lot of controversy in that. Now, you know it's big. If I'm talking to my boy about what happened in the U.S. Open finals, in the tennis match, in the women's match, between Williams and Osaki. And those of you who have not heard, I mean, it seems like everyone heard. Pat, you heard about what happened, right? The whole controversy with Serena Williams being having a game of hers taken away in the U.S. Open tennis finals. And it got pretty heated. And to make a long story short, Carlos Gomez, the umpire of the match, actually took a point away from her, and then also took a game away from her in the second set, which ultimately led to an L taken by Serena Williams, denying her a chance to pick up her 24th major tournament victory that would tie Margaret Court. And on top of that, Serena Williams got fined $17,000. And I don't know, man. I just think it was like a bigger message. You know what I'm saying? Like a bigger message. And one of Serena Williams' criticisms was that she feels as though there was sexism involved. Mm-hmm. Sexism is involved. And I got to, you know, I got to agree with her. And here's why. From the standpoint, never ever in the history of the United States Open, ever in the United States Open, in the finals, has a game been taken away from a player for code violations, right? And I've personally heard male tennis players cuss the umpire out and absolutely positively nothing is done. I mean, nothing is done. They don't take no games away, but for the first time in history, they decide to take a game away from Serena Williams. I mean, come on, for the first time in history? And then she'd even cuss the guy because she calls the guy a thief, or I'm sorry, a liar and a thief, because she felt as though he took a game away from her in a Grand Slam final. Come on, man, that penalty sounds a little harsh. And I get, oh, it's in the rules. Yeah, I get it. It's in the rules. That's why they're right. That's why the rules are there, right? So that you can go back and always say, oh, see, it's written right here in the rules. So the fact that it's never ever been enforced in the long history of the U.S. Open, it just so happens she's the first one that has it applied to her. Come on. But that's a whole nother different topic, man, that I could get into, but, you know, whatever. 404-741-0929. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 11 on the flagship station of our Atlanta Falcons, our Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United FC. We are Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And as I said before, there's so much stuff to get into on the program, man. This is the part of the year where you have literally sports galore going on. You got NFL football. You got college football. You've got baseball, the pennant chases are going on. Teams are vying for position, trying to make it in the postseason. We've got our Braves. Our Atlanta Braves are balling out right now, coming off of a 6-1 road record, sweeping another sweep, sweeping the Giants. Just phenomenal what's going on with this club, man. And I got to say it again, man, and I'll be the first to admit, I didn't see this team winning but 75 games coming to this season at best. And here we are, September 12th, and our Atlanta Braves, they are 7.5 games up in the National League East over the Philadelphia Phillies. And catch this out. You do realize that the Washington Nationals, heck, they're breathing down the Phillies' back. So the Phillies actually might overtake the Nationals for second place here pretty shortly. So the magic number, in case you're wondering, for the Atlanta Braves to clinch is going to be 10 games. And we're all excited for the Braves. We want them to close the deal. We want them to finish up. All right, so what else is going on, man? Like I said, a lot of stuff happened this past week. I got my boy, my son, Jacob. Actually got him golf lessons, signed him up for the First Tee program, Atlanta First Tee, had his first class on Saturday, and he was absolutely positively stoked about it. And every day this week since going out on the First Tee for the first session, actually it's the third session, but the first session of the third session, first class of the third session, and he's into it, man. So he wants to come and practice every day after school. So every day after school, got him set up outside. I let him hit a few balls, just to get loose with it and go over what he learned on Saturday. And what's amazing to me is that, listen, I play golf. Haven't played in a minute since, I don't know, probably played last year in October. But it's different when you try to teach somebody to play golf and you don't have the expertise in doing it. But going to the First Tee program, just after the first day, my son actually has the basics of what it is to golf down as far as the actual mechanics that I didn't even know about. Like the Y formation, to an L, hitting through the ball, finishing with a pose, kicking your right leg up. I didn't know that. But this joker, man, he locked into it, got it, and now he's out in he wants to be out in the yard every day practicing that move to get it down. And Jacob's, I feel Jacob's going to be a pretty darn good golfer. I think that's going to be his next passion. All right, anyway, also, I got to add on to this too, man. The young man is doing his thing in school, man. No behavioral issues. It's like night and day. night and day from last year to this year. And so thankful, so proud. It's a good situation to be in. All right. Ooh, got that one off my back. Oh, also, September 1st, you do realize that a lot of kids around the, you know, around the area, they're getting offers from different schools. So a couple of congratulations going out. Want to congratulate Miss India Bellamy. India Bellamy, she is accepted and committed, verbally committed to play basketball at Rice with the Rice Owls. So congratulations to India Bellamy of Eagles Landing Christian Academy. And I understand that there are a few other ladies out there who have gotten offers. I know that colleges, college coaches from around the country, they have submerged or have come to Atlanta to go to different high schools. Because you know the high schools, they can set up, they call them open practices, open gym, where the college coaches just happen to be in town and stop by the gym to watch future prospects play in unorganized games, meaning the coach can't really be there doing any coaching. All the coach can do, from what I understand, is just open the gym, if you will, and let the kids go at it. But really, it's a good look, man. There's a boatload of talent here in the city of Atlanta and in the surrounding area, man, in both, really in all sports, football, baseball, basketball, you name it. The college coaches, they come here to try to tap into that talent. And we see more and more evidence as we, you know, as we watch football games on Sunday. We see, you know, a lot of the local products doing their thing. I mean, I got a fantasy football league team, man. I'm in this fantasy football league, and my running back, for example, is a local product. Kid from here in Atlanta scored the most fantasy football points of all this past weekend for opening weekend. I'm talking about Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints. Why'd you just make the wait? Stop the presses. Why you hating, man? Pat, why you hating? Why'd you look like that, dude? You hating on local products, dog?
Falcons fan who's supporting the Saints.
No. I'm supporting the kid.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
No. I'm supporting the kid, man. I'm just saying, man. He's a local product. And, I can't wait to get to this, too. And we're going to. Coming up at 11:20, we talk about, has Matt Ryan hit his ceiling, man? Remember how I talked to you about cats coming home and doing their thing? Matt Ryan went up to Philadelphia and laid an egg. Another egg, man. He didn't do what he's supposed to do. Falcons ended up losing. So the question is, has Matt Ryan, has he hit a ceiling as we watch other young quarterbacks and veterans around the league? Some struggled, some didn't. But the overriding question is, has Matt Ryan hit a ceiling? I'm going to answer that question when we come back. You're listening to Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Better in our improvement, but for us, it usually comes down to we play our best when we have good balance, run and pass, and that's, you know, what we need to be. And our run game, how we feature the backs, the play action that goes with it, that's where so many of our explosive plays come from, and we'll work to get that part right.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That was Falcons head coach Dan Quinn talking about balance. Welcome back to Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker. Greg Patton is producing tonight's program. So glad you'd be with us. 404-741-0929 if you'd like to weigh in on some of the conversation. Talking about the Falcons and quarterback Matt Ryan. Saw a lot of quarterbacks in the league. Listen, man, a lot of quarterbacks actually struggled this weekend. So before I actually go in on Matt Ryan, I know the question is, has Matt Ryan hit the ceiling? Let me go ahead and answer that question right quick. No, he hasn't hit the ceiling. We're only talking about one game. One game in which the guy went back home and didn't look all that great, to be perfectly honest with you. All right? Matt Ryan was 21 of 43, I believe the stat was, for 250-something-odd yards, 5.8 yards per catch. That ain't getting it done. But more importantly, it was the red zone performance that was, quite pitiful. 1 of 5 in the red zone, can't have that. Have to do better. But I will say this, and I mean this in all sincerity. As I said last week, on paper, okay, on paper, and I know you got to go out and play the games, et cetera, et cetera. On paper, in my opinion, there's nobody that, you know, that can deal with the Falcons. The only team that can deal with the Falcons is themselves. A couple of bright notes to take from this game one, all right? you went up with arguably, no, not even arguably, I'll just go ahead and say it. You went up against the best team in the National Football League, certainly the best defensive team in the National Football League, in game one, right? Defending Super Bowl champions. In their backyard, hostile environment, and you lose by 6, 18-12. In a game which you had the most penalties in your franchise since the 90s, right? Where your red zone offense goes 1 for 5, where you don't really establish the running game too tough. Falcons ran for like 70-something odd yards. But most importantly, and I talked about this last Wednesday, the most important element in all of this in the Falcons season is that they remain healthy. And as it stands, the Falcons came out of that contest maimed, right? Deion Jones has been lost for at least 8 weeks, been placed on IR. Safety Keanu Neal is done for the year, thanks to a knee injury. And running back Devontae Freeman is gimpy right about now, and he's a question mark for this upcoming weekend's game. So health is definitely a factor. The good news is, how many of us are really, really now, I'm talking about really and truly, worried about the depth of the team, especially on the defensive side of the football? I must say I'm pretty comfortable with it. Not all the way live with it. I think that Duke Riley's a little bit of a liability right now at this stage in his career. But keep in mind, man, he's a fresh nose. He's got still has milk on his nose. You know what I'm saying? He's still young. But we're going to find out, right? We're going to find out. As far as KZ being inserted into the lineup, let's be honest. If we're all being honest about it, we all wanted to see this kid get more playing time anyway because he was the best performer on the team, bar none, during the preseason. So, I mean, I don't wish anything bad on Keanu Neal, but I'm actually excited at the same time to see what KZ is going to bring to the table each and every week from the safety position. And I feel comfortable with where we're at as far as how the defense has been playing. Man, the defense has been playing, I'll go ahead and call it, man, the defense has been playing lights out over the past several regular season games. They have been. That's just the truth of the matter. And it's the offense that's been stinking the joint up. Now, if there's one thing that I can blame on the defense that doesn't look very good with me, we have a lot of dumb penalties on defense. A lot of dead ball, well, not necessarily dead ball penalties, but penalties that the Falcons can control. Defensive encroachment, jumping off sides, the landing on the quarterback, I mean, that's kind of, that whole rule is stupid that you can't land on a quarterback.
And it's not consistent.
And I'm definitely not consistent.
Sean Lee didn't get called for it on Cam. And yeah. In the same game, Matt Ryan got blown up by Chris Long. Well, nobody called it.
Now, they called one on Chris Long, but they didn't call the other on Chris Long. You follow what I'm saying? But the one they called, for example, on Grady Jarrett, I thought they said, oh, if you wrap the quarterback up and you have your arms around him and you fall on him, and you drive him into the ground, that's a penalty. Grady Jarrett didn't do any of that. Yeah, Grady Jarrett tackled him, but he didn't have his hands around him. He actually had his hands out to the side. You know what I'm saying?
The NFL even made a mistake by having a penalty. I believe it was the Broncos-Seahawks game where a player was crawling on the ground because he had gotten blocked to the ground.
Right.
And he ran into the knee, I believe it was, of Case Keenum.
Right.
And he was flagged for roughing the passer.
That's BS, man.
We're at the point where it's almost like we've taken physics out of the game. We have all the tracking, the graphics and that running, the highlight shows of how things move and whatnot. But when it comes to actually making the call on the field, we're taking physics out of the game like we can't understand that these things are going to happen when you have that many people in an enclosed space.
You know what our viewing habits are right now in this day and age when we're watching a football game? And be honest, those of you listening to me, when you're watching an NFL game right now, tell me a play isn't a play until after the play. And what I mean is you'll have a play that'll be run, right? There'll be a bunch of contact, all right? You'll have to pause for a minute, look down at the corner of the screen to see if they called the flag. because it's like on every play, you're on every play in which there's a collision of some sort, a tackle of some sort. Instinctively now, you're looking to see if there's a flag on the play first before you can actually go ahead and react one way or another. And to me, that takes a lot of viewing pleasure out of watching the game. You know what I'm saying?
I think it depends on the play, but I get where you're going with that.
Man, listen, man, if there's a kaboom type of, if there's a physical collision, one where there's like a boom where somebody gets blown up, you're like holding your breath because you're really anticipating that there's going to be a call, a flag called because of the physicality of the hit. You follow what I'm saying?
I think the one
whether you lead with a helmet or not. I mean, this is such BS, man. 1 second, and by the way, it's 11:30, half past the hour of 11 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You listen to Sports Talk with Dwayne Walker, talking about the Falcons, talking about, some NFL stuff. But here, back to what I was saying, though. Remember Pat Man who? A few years back, we're talking, you can't hit guys low. You can't go out, then you're going to cause knee injuries. Now they're actually teaching you that you should go down low and refrain from hitting in the upper body so that you're not leading with the head. So which one is it?
Well, I think it's more so the problem is we've got the shoulder going into the helmet area now instead of just helmet to helmet. When it was helmet to helmet, we all could go, okay, that's helmet to helmet. That's a penalty. Now we have these collisions and you hear the crowd go, like right after a hit, and that's when the flags come out. But I think the call, in my opinion, that is really hurting the NFL right now, there is a terrible, terrible misrepresentation of red zone pass interference. There is offensive pass interference in the red zone when it's not happening. There is defensive red zone. Certain teams are able to grab guys at the goal line, it looks like, and other teams are penalized as soon as they touch somebody in the goal line.
It's all subjective, man.
Yes.
And that's the part. I mean, that's the part that stinks. You don't have guys on the same officiating crew that are on the same page. And I just think it's going to be part of the demise of the National Football League. And don't be surprised if viewership is going – I'm going to make a prediction. Viewership is going to be down again this year. It is. It's because of the product, man. It's all about the – you're shaking your head. You don't
I completely disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because it already happened, Dwayne. It already happened. There were two sides to the story, okay? And I actually got reached out to by someone in public relations for NBC on this on social media because I brought it up. People wrote the story on Friday. That's the lowest watch NFL kickoff game of all time on NBC. That is the lowest we've ever seen.
Hold on.
There was a delay.
Hold on.
But
hold
I'm
on. Hold on. Wait,
Dwayne,
I know where you're headed. I know where you're headed. But keep in mind what I'm saying. I'm saying as far as viewership is concerned, where you're actually sitting in front of a television set and actually watching football. Those are the numbers that I'm saying are going to decline when you're sitting in.
Those numbers are down on every sport.
And I'm saying it's
that
going
has
to,
nothing
it's going
to do
continue.
With it.
I'm sorry?
Has nothing to do with it.
I know you're going with this stream, buddy. I know where you're going with this. I know what you're going to say as far
and
as
that's
like social
exactly media. Where we're at.
I get that. But at the same time, man, it makes it I would rather look at a game or see highlights of a game on my own time rather than having to sit in front of the football screen and see how the games are being called right now. I'm saying that what's going on in the National Football League with the targeting, with the hits, with throwing the players out, taking the physicality out of the game, it's a big turnoff to me to actually watch. So if I'm going to watch, I'm going to watch at my own leisure and watch highlights or whatever, you know, when I don't have to sit through that crap. That's what I'm saying.
I think we're talking about two different things in this. But my point being, right away, the response was, outside of the Summer Olympics, that was the most watched broadcast on NBC Sports when you take into the streaming account. So we're going to see this all year. People who don't.
You're talking about the Falcons game?
The Falcons Eagles game.
I heard the Falcons Eagles game was the least watched. It was like the least watched football game. Monday or
on television range.
Right.
I'm talking about NBC Sports put out outside of the Summer Olympics. That is the most watched. And they had the Super Bowl, if you recall, as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most watched since the Summer Olympics, anything they've had. That includes horse racing. That includes other things. My point being, we're going to have this conversation every week by the people who have an agenda with the NFL, saying that we're now at the we're now seeing the ratings drop. But when you actually do the research, and I know the roundtable shows have a tough time doing that as well in sports media, but it is the truth, is more people are watching than ever.
That just sounded like such a blanket statement. When you say more people are watching it more than ever, you're saying what you're leaving the people to believe is that more and more people are lined up in front of their television and actually watching the product, when that's not – you're misleading people. Because what you're really saying is that, listen, most people are going to watch – I'm sorry. A lot of people are going to watch on their telephones. Is that what you're saying? Hey, man, hold on, Pat, I know you're not going to leave me high and dry on this. You come on, you make a point, and then I'm asking you to clarify your point, and now you're going to leave me high and dry and not say anything?
The point is, I think what people have a trouble understanding with streaming is it is running through your TV now. So when you make the argument that it's all about sitting in front of your TV is what we base this on, people are watching through big screen TVs. They're just not using the traditional methods.
Okay. All right. Yeah, what he said. See, he didn't put it in layman's terms. He put it in Greg Patton terms. I guess what I'm gathering he's saying is that people actually stream the games and they don't know it. Like, when you're watching it, it's actually via the stream form. I mean, I guess that's what he's saying. He confused me. All right. Are the Falcons still a Super Bowl team? Yes, of course they are. They just have some adjustments to make. Some moves to make. And the Falcons have been making moves, and we'll go over some of those moves next. You're listening to Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. I'm confused, though, Pat.
We held practice today. We held Deion Jones. We're still getting some more tests on his foot. Came back sore from the game.
Oh, it came back. Deion Jones is out, placed on IR. 8-week IR. Welcome back to the program, everybody. Sports Rap with Dwayne Walker. Greg Patton is producing tonight's program. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, you can, 404-741-0929. And before the break, we talked about Falcons still being a Super Bowl team. Are they still a Super Bowl team despite some recent injuries after, you know, the injuries after game one? And absolutely they still are. And to the Falcons' credit, they are not standing pat. They are making moves. As a matter of fact, I'll just run through some moves that the Falcons have made since September 6th, since the opening loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, all right? So we already understand, as you heard from the clip there, Deion Jones, he's been placed on IR. So that means he'll be out 8 weeks. 8 weeks he will be out of action. So let me, and he should be back for the Cowboy game, which is going to be on November 18th, Sunday, November 18th. That's when he should be available again. All right, so out goes Keanu Neal. So what do the Falcons do? They find a linebacker, Corey Nelson. They bring him in. They sign him. They also add linebacker Richard Jarvis. They sign him to the practice squad. Okay. Falcons, they also signed a defensive end, Stephen Means. And Dan Quinn talked about why the team went out and signed defensive end, Stephen Means.
We wanted to see if we could add more pass rush. You know, that's probably something that we're always digging in and looking into. So we thought that part of his game led, he had something that he could add to our team as a pass rusher. So I'm not sure where yet. Is he going to be, you know, play a little bit outside linebacker, defensive end? Over the next couple weeks, we'll certainly look at that. But I like the size and I like the length of the player. And so when we had a chance to add, we thought it was the best way to go.
So you hear Dan Quinn talked about pass rushing as far as getting in on the quarterback. And Falcons, as a matter of fact, they had two sacks on the afternoon or on the night against Philadelphia Eagles. Brian Poole had one. And who had the other one? The other one was, I believe Tack had the other one. Tack McKinley had the other sack for our Atlanta Falcons. Also out in that game,
And out for the season, not just not only is put on IR, but season-long IR, Keanu Neal's safety is done for the year thanks to a knee injury. And what did the Falcons go out and do to address that? Well, they signed a safety, Keith Tandy. He's been signed. DeMonte KZ will move into a starting role in place of Keanu Neal. And for insurance, the Falcons have gone out and gotten safety Keith Tandy. So Falcons obviously active. So who did the Falcons lose, all right, on the defensive side of the ball? They got rid of, Jacob Mariner, and they got rid of Deontay Burton, cornerback, and they let long snapper Jeff Overbaugh go because he was just hired for just a week. So we got our regular guy back in there. Also, got to give you this update also, that our running back corps, Devontae Freeman, dinged up, did not participate in practice, hasn't participated in practice since the game. And so what do the Falcons do? They go out and they sign running back Brian Hill to the squad. They did that on yesterday. And to go even deeper, because Russell Gage did not participate in workouts this week, Falcons have gone out and they have picked up another couple of wide receivers. Julian Williams and Christian Blake have been signed to the practice squad. So lots of moves in 1 week's of time, really less than a week. They played last Thursday. So in 6 days, the Falcons have made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 moves in 6 days. So they've been active. It's not like they're standing pat. And I got to tell you, even though it's only been one game, it's a type of game where the offense was so inept overall, right? Overall, they were inept, because they weren't able to do anything in the red zone. It makes you wonder how soon the Falcons internally are going to make a move and maybe start reassigning people. But you have to remember, man, it's only been one game. So there's no need to hit the panic button. And in fact, if we're going to go by history and we do the whole coordinator thing, the second year of the offensive coordinator working with Matt Ryan is normally Matt Ryan's best season. So we can't really judge him after one game. I tried to tell you before, the good thing is that we took on a rock-solid opponent in the Philadelphia Eagles. So there's your test. So one would think that it should be easier this time out, if you know what I'm saying, from this point on. Although we'll get another big test against Carolina, they're going to likely be missing some of their key pieces also. Keekly, from what I understand, might not go. So,
you know, Olsen's out.
Greg Olsen is done. He's done for the year. So here again, man.
Their offensive line is basically an anthill trapped in a rainstorm we saw on Sunday. I watched a lot of that game.
I did too.
I'm telling you, Cam looked as bad as like throwing the ball down the field. He made one or two good throws to win a game like he usually does. But he looked bad in Norv's offense.
Cam got me 17 points on my fantasy team, man. Cam did his thing as far as I'm concerned, as far as my fantasy league points. So I appreciate it.
I just appreciate that we've reached the level with Cam where we don't actually put his stats up. We put up his total yards that he runs for. And we don't dare put up his accuracy numbers.
But listen, he's a threat, man. Cam Newton is a threat. And I know this might sound too early to say this. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction. Falcons, they have to draft a quarterback next year. They have to draft a quarterback next year. If this red zone don't get any better, because let's face it, man, a lot of other teams, they have this new phrase they're using. I want to punch the person in the nose that started this phrase. Why is everyone using this phrase RPO? What the hell? RPO, what is that? Run pass option? Like, that's like the new buzzword. RPO this and RPO that and RPO speed wagon this and RPO speed wagon that. Where does this term come from? Like, why is everyone using this term all of a sudden now? Because that's something we don't have down at the goal line. A run pass option, doesn't that involve the quarterback handing the ball off, pitching the ball, passing the ball, or keeping the ball himself, right? Realistically, with Matt Ryan down at the goal line, he's not going to keep the ball, which is more of a reason why the Falcons should be designing plays in which Matt Ryan is actually keeping the ball, because no one expects Matt Ryan to run the ball. So here's a news flash.
Don't run three verticals in the red zone?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, how about a bootleg? How about a naked bootleg where you have an eligible lineman and a tight end from the backside catch the football?
Well, they have to catch it first, Dwayne. That's been the problem with these tight ends.
That's a real RPO for me, for the Falcons. Who's expecting Matt Ryan to run the football? Nobody. Who's going to respect Matt Ryan on a naked bootleg? Nobody. So run the naked bootleg. My goodness. Do you have to be I ain't even an offensive coordinator, and I can see that.
I want to say this because I gave you a lot of Sark data when we were getting ready to kick the season off about how he's been good in certain games and bad in games. Guess what that game was? Mixed again.
It was he came out strong.
He had some creative plays.
They came out creatively, yes.
Okay, you did run the Julio stretch.
Yes.
That's unexpected.
Yes.
And you did actually have some pretty good calls in the red zone, but Matt and Julio weren't on the same page, and you had a ball dropped.
Listen, man, Matt Julio,
his timing was off.
Julio Jones caught 11 balls, man. Although he caught 11 balls, I'm still trying to understand, man. When we get down to the goal line, why is he not in the game? Like, half the time he's not in the game.
But
we have the ball first and goal, and he goes to the sideline. He puts his hands on his hips and goes, I don't understand
but
that.
But, Dwayne, they forced the ball to him at the end of the game and cost you the game.
Oh, my God.
Throw it to Coleman. He's open. Throw it to Sanu. He's open. Yeah, Ridley's wide open, and you're forcing it to Julio at the end of the game.
Listen, man. Excuses. Right? All right, we come back, man. They've crowned a WNBA champion. I'm going to tell you who it is. Hey, listen, our Dream had their chances, but we bowed out in the semifinals. Guess who went on to win the championship? I will let you know next. You're listening to Sports Shop with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.